So we're holding on Peydalet onward bays about a little more than halfway down the onward. The line begins Shaconnectedy. But to recap a little bit of what we learned at the end yesterday, because there was a glitch, we said we were discussing the point, who is the halacha like in our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Tarfon, in particular over this business of if the Baal Chayv or the woman who wants to collect her ksuba were toifis, if they grabbed assets to pay, to get themselves paid off after the person passed away. So Rabbi Tarfon says that works. And they're entitled to it. Just if there's anything extra, then we have to figure out who it goes to. And Rabbi Akiva said that no. So we were discussing the point. Now we had a case where Dayanim passed in like Rabbi Tarfon, where Shlokish made them take it back. And so we were discussing the point. So when the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in a machlokas with an individual tana. But does that apply even where that other Tana is his Rebbe, as Reb Tarfon was? Or do we say, in fact, that Reb Tarfon wasn't even his Rebbe, was his Chaver, which he was. He started out as his Rebbe, and eventually Reb Akiva became so great that he became a Chaver of Reb Tarfon. Or do we say that it's maybe just Matin, that we maybe just incline to Paskin like Reb Akiva, but B'dieved, if they Paskin like Reb Tarfon, then we allow it. And then we had one, we started discussing a number of cases. The first one we had yesterday was a case involving Tfisa, where Rabbi Yochanan said it's fine, and Rish Lakish said it's not. And Rabbi Yochanan says, when they came back to tell him, Rish Lakish disagreed, he says, so what can I do? My opposite number, Shekinegdi, Cholok Olai, the one who's parallel to me, meaning Rish Lakish, who's on the same level as me, disagrees with me. So once he passed in that, I can't really undo it. So now the Gemara continues with several other cases involving this matter of Tfisa. The Gemara says, Hahu Bakora Diyasmi, there was a cowherd who was taking care of a cow, of cows and other animals that belonged to Yisomim, the Tafsi Torimine Baal Choy. So what happened was there was a Baal Chayv who their father had owed money to. So this Baal Chayv went and took one or more of the animals away from this shepherd, away from this cowherd. The Tafsi Todamine, that they grabbed an ox away from him to pay off a debt. Now, the argument was Baal Chayv Omer Mechayim Tefisnale. So the Baal Chayv, the one who had grabbed it said, I did that while the father was still alive. And we learned yesterday that everybody agrees, is valid. We said at the top of the Omer Rava Omer Rav Nachman, Rehusha Tofas Mechayim, that if he grabbed it while the father was still alive, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that that's valid, and now he can use it to collect his debt. Because after all, the whole reason Rabbi Akiva had said in the Mishnah that you can't do that after the guy passed away, it's because now the property is in the chazaka of the Yisomim, whereas the other ones, in order to collect, need a shvur. And here, it wasn't in the property of the Yisomim yet, because it wasn't in the chazaka of the Yisomim yet, because the father was still alive. So the Baal Chayv argues that that's when I did it. Ubakora omal acham misatase. Meanwhile, the cowherd says that it was only after the father had died, which in that case, according to Rabbi Akiva, would be no good. Also, the kamei de Rabbi Nachman. So the case came to Rabbi Nachman. Omalei. So he asks. He asks the cowherd, Islach Sadi de Tafse, do you have Aedus that this guy grabbed the animal? Omalei Lav, and the shepherd says no. Omalei, so Rav Nachman says, in that case, then Migoy de Yochel Lamemel Akuach Uyadi, he has a Migoy then, he could have said that I bought this animal. Therefore, Yochel Nami Lamema Mechaim Tefisnele. Therefore, by a migui, we can also believe him when he says that he did it when the father was alive, and therefore that would be valid, and therefore he's entitled to collect from it. A point that some of the Mefarshim make is that why isn't the cowherd himself one aid to say that it was otherwise, and then that would force the other guy to have to take a shvua? And the answer is basically because then he's a little bit negeya bedover, because after all he's a shomer. It's his job to prevent people from going and taking the animals when they're not supposed to. So therefore, if he ends up, so he's negeya bedavar to say that that the guy took it while the father was alive, which in that case he'd have the right to, because otherwise it means that he was careless with being a shomer and he would have to pay, especially because he's a shomer sachar, and a shomer sachar has a greater degree of responsibility. So we can't accept him as one aid. So therefore, we're left with that the other guy has a migra. So the Gemara asks,
why is the shomer responsible if someone grabs it, even if it was a bal chayv, but if someone grabs it?
So it may well be that he is. And in fact, I think one of the Mefarshim, the Shitra Mechubetzis brings from one of the Mefarshim, I think the Ra'ah, who says that, yes, afterwards, if we were to say, it's given that we're saying over here that we can accept the guy's claim because of the migri, then yes, the result is that the shepherd would indeed end up having to pay the Yisomim back for the fact that he fell down on the job of his shmirah. But right now we're dealing with the question, can this Baal Chayv keep this animal in satisfaction of the debt? And Rav Nachman is saying, yes, if we knew that he took it only after the father died, so if there were edim to that effect, then we would make him return it, because the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. But since we don't have edim, then instead he has a migri. And then therefore he has the ability to claim that he did it while the father was alive. The Gemara is not dealing over here with the question of what's going to be between the Yisomim and the Shomer, but yes, there is that point that some of the Mefarshim say. So the Gemara asks, how could we be tofus an animal anyway and have that be valid? Didn't Rish Lakish say that goydros, which means specifically, it actually says it means small animals like sheep and goats, and at this point, the Gemara is assuming that it includes cows as well. There's no chazaka, meaning what are we saying? The migri is that he could have said, I bought it. But you can't say about a sheep or a goat that I bought it unless you have evidence, because he might have found them. They're animals that wander around, actually. So they're animals that wander around, after all. So he might have found them wandering around and brought them into his house, or they might have even wandered into his house on their own. So Rav Nachman's migui is based on the idea that he could say l'kuchen hen biyadi. But how could he say that? How would we believe such a claim when they could just as well have wandered into his house? And the answer is shiny tota de mesidol leroya. It's different when it comes to cattle, because those which were given to a shepherd to watch, those are not goydros, because those don't just wander around freely. So those you could claim a chazaka on, just like any other metaltlin, because they're not just wandering around freely. In fact, one of the Mefarshim explains that it's not even that the shepherd watches them. It's also the fact he himself picks them up every morning from the owner's house and drops them off at the end of the day. So therefore, at no time are they being left just to wander around by themselves. Unlike, in other words, you might have, let's say, sheep or goats that you don't give to a shepherd. You just let them wander around and roam around on their own. And every so often you check on them. Those were saying ein lahem chazaka, but here, since they're under the care of a cowherd or a shepherd, then therefore you could make a chazaka on them, and therefore Rav Nachman is saying he has a migri. Another example, the Gemara says, of tfisa, dvei nesia tofus amsa diyasmi misimta. Members of the family of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, they had somebody owed them money. He had passed away, so now they took a maidservant that belonged to these Yisomim from a simta, from a side street. Now we learned yesterday in the Gemara we had that if the property was in a simta, so we said we had the case in the Mishnah yet, for example, where there was a pile of peiros that belonged to the father, and now the Yisomim have Yavshin. If it's located in Rishus Arabim, then Reb Taufin would say that they could do tfis on it even after the father died, but not in a simta. And Reb Yechon and Rish Lakish said that even in a simta, they could still be tofus it, because after all, a simta, it's a side street or a corner, a street corner or something where people go to the side to transact business deals. So, but it's not the actual Rosh Hashanah. It's a place, in other words, where you could do a valid mashicha. So now what happened was, so this maidservant was located in a simta, and the family of the Reshkol, of the family of the Nasi went in and grabbed this maidservant to satisfy the debt. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rabba Bohu, Rabba Chanina Rabba Papi, Rabba Yitzchak Nafa. So these three Amiroim were sitting together, but Yosef Rabba Abba Gabayhu, Rabba Abba was sitting together with them. Omalahu Shaper Tafsitua, and he says to them, a different gear says, Omru Lahu, they, all the Chachamim, said to the members of the Nasi's family, Shaper Tafsitua, what you did was valid, you did a proper tfisa.
Stealing, or?
No, so that's the thing, because they were owed money. They were owed money, and therefore, so Tosfos points out that even we said before that maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, only matin, only that we incline to say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, but we don't necessarily paskin like that. But here, Tosfos actually mentioned this earlier in connection with the story of Rabbi Yochanan, where he says shapo tafastua. But here they had already grabbed it, so therefore it can be considered. Therefore, it can be considered b'di'evin.
And the
So now they have the shifa, and now they can keep her, or they can sell her, or whatever, in order to pay off the debt. So now the kinyan is that they made her move. Yeah. So Omalahu Rab Abba, but Rab Abba says, so the three Chachamim were saying you did good. In other words, you're allowed to keep her. But Omalahu Rab Abba, says to the three Chachamim, how could you say that? Mishum de Benesia Ninu, what? Just because these people are from the family of the Nasi and they're tremendously powerful and influential in Eretz Yisrael, Machan Fitu Lahu, are you going to chan for them and say and then flatter them and say that what they did is correct, even though it may not be correct, Abi Alafa? What you're saying would only be according to Rab Tarfon. Vahadun Dayonik Rab Tarfon. After all, we learned earlier on the Amud, we learned yesterday, that one time Dayonim Paskin like Rab Tarfon, Vahadre Vishlokish Uvdomin. And Rish Lakish made them undo it because he said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, then you can't be Tofus. Here, unlike in the previous case with the cow, there was no argument whether it was Mechaim or La'achamisa. It was agreed that it was La'achamisa. So the only question is whether the halacha is like Rabbi Taufin or Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Abba tells them, given that we've established that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and Rish Lakish went even so far as to tell Dayonim that Paskin like Rabbi Taufin that they did wrongly, then therefore you can't do that.
They have to return it.
So therefore, you can't. Right. In general, metaltlin of yisoimim are not under a shibud to the Baal Choy. So what they'll have to do, they'll have to return the shifcha. And when the yisoimim get older, then they'll go and bring them to a din Torah and then collect. Or if the father had karka that he sold, then they can do the usual thing with the nechos mishavadim abayi. But not to grab metaltlin abayi. Okay, another case. Yemer bar Choshu have a masik be zuzabahu gavra. Yemer bar Choshu, that was his name. He was owed money by a certain person. Shochiv, that other person passed away. The Shabik Arba, he left a boat as an asset that he had owned while he was alive. So Yemer bar Choshu, the Baal Choy, says to a shliach of his, go grab that ship, and I'm going to use it to pay off the debt. Ozel tafsa, so sure enough, the shliach went and did that. Pogu be Rapapa of Ravuna Brede Rishua, but then Rapapa and Ravuna Brede Rishua met up with the shliach, and they told him, and they themselves were also owed money by this guy. So Omrule, so they told him, at Tofus, the Baal Choy, b'makim shechav la'achev. What you've just done is you're grabbing on behalf of Baal Chov when he owes other people as well. Now, what happens is, if the guy who passed away had owed only Yema Baal Choshu, fine. Then we can talk about whether you can take away property from him or not. Further on, a few lines further, The Rebbe is going to point out to them the fact is it wasn't Tfisa Mechaim, so you can't do that anyway. But leaving that aside, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua are saying, even assuming the halacha is like Rav Tarfon, there's a different issue over here. This guy owed money to multiple people. So any of the Baalei Chovos themselves are certainly entitled to take the property because a person, it's called Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe. A person is able to execute judgment on his own behalf. He's owed money, so therefore he's entitled to take steps to recover that money. But to send a shliach to do that, no, because then the shliach has the right to do things that benefit you. He doesn't have the right without other people's permission to do things that are to their detriment, that are going to harm them. In this case, if Yema Bar Choshu collects his debt from this boat, then Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua and anybody else that this guy owes money to are not going to be able to. So they tell the shliach, you don't have the right to do that.
But here the shliach is not kamoise at all.
So here we don't say, so actually about the point of shlucha shalom kamoise, actually the truth is Mephoshim talk about what we may be talking about over here, that this was a self-appointed shliach, or we may be talking about that it wasn't even that Yemer hadn't told him explicitly to grab the boat, but rather this was a guy who was a regular gopher for Yemer Bar Choshu. So now, he took it on himself or whatever. But if in fact Yemer had sent him as a shliach, then some of the Mephoshim say in fact he would have the right to on the grounds of shlucha shalom kamoi. So there's a good deal of discussion about that. Anyway,
but even with this boat, it's called a kohen zecher by now.
So
he owes a few people.
The person himself, if Yemer himself went and grabbed the boat, then sure. As long as it's tfisa at a valid time, which we're going to deal with the fact soon that it was lachamisa.
If it's worth more money, you divide.
Then if you have more money, if there's more money, then we're going to do like we said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon is going to say that we give it to the koshul shabayin, and Rabbi Akiva says that we give it back to the Yoshim. But anyway, the point is that here where there's shliach involved, you don't even have that.
So it's a metalton, a boat.
It's a boat is metalton, sure. But Amar Rabbi Yechanan, and Atofis the Baal Choyv, Makam Shechav Lachayim Leikona. And Rabbi Yechanan says that when you do that, when you're Tofis on behalf of a Baal Choyv, when the person also owed money to other people as well, so therefore it's causing them to lose out, Leikona. So then he's not Kona. So it doesn't work. Because you don't have the ability, you, the shliach, don't have the ability to benefit Yema Bar Choshu at the expense of other people. So, Tafsua Inu, so Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua themselves decided to grab it. They were also owed money, and they themselves, they're entitled Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe. If Yema himself had been there, he would have first dibs on it, but because he wasn't, then therefore, yeah. So, now it was a boat. So Rav Papa Mimlach Maluchi, Rav Papa grabbed a hold of the oars and started steering it. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Mamtach Laba Ashla, and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua had it pulled using the ropes. Boats in those days, we're not talking necessarily like boats that went in the open ocean or something. We're talking about a typical boat that we talk about in the Gemara is a river boat, a barge, more like in English, it's called a barge. And the way they would have it go in rivers is typically they would have people or animals pulling it using ropes. So now, in effect, one of them is doing meshicha, and the other one is doing a different form of kinyan. Mar Omar no kanina lalakulo, Mar Omar no kanina lalakulo. So each one is saying that I was kone. Each one was saying that my way of moving the boat is stronger than the other one. What?
Yeah. And again, you can't be zecher for a person.
You can't be zecher for somebody else, but they themselves, each of them, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, was owed money by this guy. Okay. So each of them individually is entitled to take it.
What is that saying that you, if it's a good thing, you could be zecher for someone else?
Zochen la'odim shalei b'fanav, right. But ve'ein chavin la'odim shalei b'fanav, exactly. That was the point. Because Yemer Bar Choshu had sent a shliach, then that would be in chavin la'odim shalei b'fanav. You can't cause a choiv for other people, namely for the other people who this guy owes money to, shalei b'fanav, right. So, Pogu b'hu Pinchas Bar'ami. So the Pinchas Bar'ami met up with these two chachamim, Omelahu, and he says to them, one second, how do you think that this meshicha or hagba or whatever it is that you did, meshicha or mesira or whatever, how do you think it's valid? We learned yesterday that Rav and Shmuel had said that if the only if the fruit was piled in Rosh Hashanah, but not even in a simta, we said that Reb Tarfon, what do we say in the Mishnah? Reb Tarfon had said, if you have Paris, then the Paris Tzloshin, then the Baalei Chovos can grab them for themselves. But Rav and Shmuel said, only if it's located in Rosh Hashanah, not if it's located in a simta, because a simta, a side street, we said that since it's possible to make a kinyan over there, then we say that the Yisomim themselves were koined as soon as the father died. So Rav Pinchas is not even dealing with the question yet of Tfisa Mechayim ul Achamisa. He's dealing with, even if you want to say the halacha is like a tyrant, still according to both Rav and Shmuel, we say it has to be specifically in Rosh Hashanah. So where was this boat that you're grabbing it, that you're saying that wouldn't it be because the boat was docked at the time that you grabbed it? And in that case, then you don't have the ability to, because the Yisomim were kind of it as soon as their father died. So he or they, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda Vishwa said, Anan nami mecharifuse binara tafisna. As a matter of fact, yes, we grabbed it from the middle of the river. We didn't find it by the riverbank, which would be the equivalent of a simta. It was actually in the middle of the river where the boats usually go, and we grabbed it from there. So therefore, yes, that's the equivalent of finding it in Rosh Hashanah. So yes, Mephoshim deal with the question then, what is it? Do we mean that it was located in the river when the father died, so therefore the Yisomim were never koinet? Or do we mean at the time when they were tofus it, then it was in the middle of the river? Whatever the case, yes, the middle of the river where all the boats go is the equivalent of Rosh Hashanah.
They grabbed, I guess they happen to be there.
Yeah, they happen to be there. Yeah. Boat. I guess, yeah. But then the Gemara says, also the Kamei de Rava. Later on, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rebbe Yeshua came to Rava, who was their Rebbe, Omalahu, and he says to them, no, there's something wrong over here. Kati Chivri, white ducks, Meshauchi Glimi de Inshi, who take off people's clothes, who take off people's talesim, people's clothing off them. You, in other words, you didn't do right. Because after all, Hochi Amar Rav Nachman Rosh HaTafsim Echaim. After all, we said before that Rav Nachman said only if you were Tofus while the guy was alive. You guys only took it after the guy is dead. And the halacha is like Rav Akiva, that you can't do that. But then it belongs to the Yisomim already. And you and Metalpman of Yisomim are not Meshubban to a Baal Chov. And therefore, you have to give the boat back. Why does he call them white ducks? So Rashi says the white is because they were old. So they already had white hair. As far as ducks, actually, Gilyan Ashas, Rav Akiva Eger, says an interesting point. That was in recognition of the Chochmah. The Gemara in Brachas, in the last Perek, has you have a long thing over there, you have a long sugi over there about different things that a person might see in a dream and their various significances. One of them is that if a person sees a duck in a dream, then it means that he should look forward to, he's going to achieve Chochmah. Because a duck honks and makes very loud noises in the same way that when a person has Chochmah of Torah, it becomes publicized. So a duck is a symbol of Chochmah. So he's calling them white ducks. In other words, I recognize that you're very old. You're old, distinguished Tamar Chachamim. Nevertheless, you should know, in this case, you were wrong because the halacha is like Rav Akiva and you can't do tfisa unless the Baal Chov was still alive, which he's not. Another case, the Gemara says, Avimi Brei de Rabohu have a maske be zuzi be choizoi. Avimi, the son of Rabbahu, owed money to some people in Bei Chozoi. Bei Chozoi is an area nowadays, it's in Iran. Interesting to realize, by the way, Rabbi Bohu and Avimi lived in Eretz Yisrael, which is even Bavel, even the part of Bavel where Jews lived was pretty far away from Bei Chozoi. Eretz Yisrael is even further, but apparently he had business deals that stretched all the way to there. Anyway, so he owed some money to people in Bei Chozoi. Shadrinu biyad choma breid Rabbi Barabo. So he sent the money with Choma, the son of Rabbi Barabohu. If it's the same Rabbi Bohu, then it means that it's his nephew. If not, then it just means it's a different. Then it's a different, unrelated Chocham. Anyway, Ozo Parinu. So he went and paid off the money to the people in Bei Chozoi. Omolahu Hovuli Shtara. And then he says to the people, "Give me the shtar back, because once the debt is paid off, you have to give me the shtar so we can rip it up." Omrulay, the people in Bei Chozoi told him, Sitroi Ninu, this that you paid us is actually for a side debt. The word Sitroi is like Sitra Achra. So in other words, they're saying there's a previous time that Avimi borrowed money from us where there was no shtar. It was a milval pair. Now, what you gave us helped. Now you paid us that. He still owes us for the other one that that's covered by the shtar. Therefore, you're going to need to come back. So Ravimi, when he got this information, he went to Rababohu. Now, not for a din Torah. Rababohu was his father. A father can't judge a din Torah for his son. Although some of the Mephoshim point out that actually there is a scenario, there is a halacha in Masechta Sanhedrin and in Shulchan Aruch, that if both Bale Dinim are willing to accept somebody who would otherwise be possible as a Dayan, then they can voluntarily accept him. So if the people from Beit Chazoy are willing to accept Rababohu as a Dayan, then he can judge even though his son Avimi is involved.
On the other hand, also it's not for him, it's not for his son, it's for a third party.
No, it's for him, it's for Avimi, because Avimi is the one who, if we accept their claim, then it means that Avimi has to pay again. If not, then it means Avimi doesn't have to pay again.
Avimi himself
didn't go. No, he sent somebody else. But the point is that if we accept their claim, then Avimi himself is going to have to send another shliach with more money to pay them.
I thought it was the shliach himself that went through.
No, well, the shliach himself went, but he was going with the money that belonged to Avimi to pay them.
Right, he paid them. Then
it's right. Then they're saying Sitturin. Right.
Then he went.
After
he gave the money and didn't give him back the.
No,
the,
so it's, then right. Went to a, well, so yeah. Maybe right. So maybe the shliach went to the Rababohu, but after all, ultimately Avimi is the Baal Din over here, because if he's going to want to, he's going to owe the money. Omale, so Rababohu says, Islach Sadi Vpratinu, do you have Edim that you paid them? Omale Loi, and he says, no. Omale, so Rababohu says, in that case, Migur, do you chodem loimalai, how you'd vorem ma'olam? Then in that case, migur, they have a migur. They could say that this never happened. They could say we were never paid back. Therefore, yichol nami lamema sitroi ninu. Therefore, yes, we can believe their claim that it was sitroi, and therefore, yes, you're going to owe them more money. Now, Tosfos says that this would only work Tosfos says, we know that there's a concept of shivuas hesis, that at some point, the Gemara elsewhere says that it was Reb Nachman who made this takana, that even in cases where deraisa, you don't have to swear deraisa, or derabonon, you don't have to swear on a claim, nevertheless, we have a concept of shivuas hesis, derabonon, that even in such cases, there was a certain shivua that you have to take. It's less stringent than a shvur d'araisa or d'rabbanan. You don't do it with Nikitas Chayfetz, with him holding a Sefer Torah or something, but nevertheless, a shvur still has to be taken. So Tosfos says, if this was before shvur hesis, then actually the shliach himself could be the one aid, and therefore the requirement would be that now the people from Beit Chazoy, if they want to collect another debt, would have to swear, as usual, when you have one aid. Because in that case, the shliach wouldn't be negei b'davar. But now that we have the concept of shvur hesis, now, in other words, because the point is, without a shvuas hesis involved, the shliach himself has a migri. He could say, I return them back. He could say, I brought the money back to Avimi, and therefore I don't owe him anymore. It's now Avimi's job to find somebody else to bring the money. Therefore, we would also believe him to say that he paid the malva. Where we said before, he doesn't have aid, but a migri would allow us to say that we accept that claim. But once there's a so then he wouldn't be negei b'davar, and we would accept that nigri. He himself at least wouldn't be responsible to repay Avim. But now that there's a shvuas hesis involved, he himself is negei b'davar because he wants to get out of that shvua. Therefore, we can't accept his edus to say that he paid. So now instead, yeah, the
other he's responsible to.
So now he's responsible. Yeah, he's going to have to pay Avimi because he was careless, because he should have asked the people of Beit Chazoy to give him the shtar first before he gives them the money.
But is that the normal thing?
It could be a normal enough thing, yeah. And then obviously, yeah, or at least have witnesses or whatever, yeah. So therefore, like this, now he's a negei b'davar, and since there's a shvuas hesis, then that makes him a negei b'davar. Then now instead the other guys have a mig.
But he could swear.
So the shliach can swear a shvuas hesis, but that doesn't do us any but we can't, because that's the point. The other guys have a migui to say that they were paid off a different debt, sitroi, rather than the original debt that he was supposed to be getting the shtar for.
But to make him swear to say that this one.
So now he's going to be responsible to pay Avimi. The fact is, Avimi now is going to be on the hook to pay them for another debt that he didn't realize that he had, and therefore now the shliach is going to be responsible to repay him. So that's the question. The Gemara says, "Le'inyan shalumi shliach mai." What is the din? So fine, that takes care of the people of Bechazoi that are going to be able to say that you owe us more money and will accept their claim on the basis of the migri. The question is, what about the shliach? Does he have to pay? Does he have to pay the mishaleach? Does he have to pay avim? Amar Rav Ashi chazinan. So Rav Ashi says we have to see exactly what happened. If Avimi had told him, get the shtar from them and then give them the money, Mishalim, then he has to pay because he was careless because he did what he did differently than he was supposed to. He gave them the money first. But if he told him, Hab Zuzi, or Shkil Shtara, but if Avimi had told him, give them the money and then get the shtar, Loi Mishalim, then we wouldn't make him pay because he just followed the instructions exactly. But the Gemara says, actually, it's not so. Either way, even if Avimi had told him in the order, give them the money, then get the shtar, he would still have to pay. Because when you send a shliach, we have a general rule that you can tell him, I sent you in order to fix things up for me, not to mess things up for me. And in this case, in other words, even though so Tosfos explains that if he had not mentioned anything about the shtar, if he just said, give them the money, then fine. Then the shliach would have the ability to say, you know what, obviously you trust them that they're not going to collect with the shtar again. So therefore, it's not my business to have to ask them for the shtar. But once the mishaleach mentioned getting the shtar, then the shliach has to realize for himself, you know what, obviously I need to get the shtar before I give them money to avoid this potential problem of sitroi, and therefore he messed up.
But why doesn't say that if he actually agreed that this was, there wasn't three money involved?
Well, it doesn't matter whether he agreed or not. They have a migri, and therefore that's that. We believe them on the basis of the migri.
Right, but if the person we're talking about here, if he agrees, yeah, that's right, I owe them separate money, then there's no issue there.
Well, the point is that still the shliach was careless. If the shliach had done the right thing, if he had first told them, I need the shtar, then he gave them the money, now they wouldn't have any ability to say sitroi nidu anymore, because now the shtar for the debt that was covered by the shtar is in the shliach's hands, and if they want to claim that they're owed other money, they would have to swear to it like any nishba v'notel. So yeah, okay. Another example the Gemara says involving a migri or involving tfisa. There was a woman who had people had deposited by her. Oh, not people. The father of Yisoimim had deposited by her while he was alive a briefcase full of shtaris. Also Yoshim Kotavi Levina, and now the Yoshim are coming and demanding the shtaris back. So she tells them, Mechaim to Fisna Lahu. Actually, no, I already grabbed them. I took possession of them while your father was alive because of money that he owes me. And we said before, Tfisa Mechaim would be valid. Asoy l'kamei de Rav Nachman. So the case came to Rav Nachman. Omolo islach sadid tavur minach mechayim v'lo yahavis nialei. Do you have edim that the father ever asked you for these shtaris back while he was alive and you didn't give it to him? So she says no. So he says, "Imkain have a tefisa de la achamisa." In that case, then you don't have grounds to say that it was tefisa while he was alive. As long as he was alive, we have to assume that it was a pikkudin by you only as a pikkudin rather than as tefisa. So now it's still considered like it's in his rishus. What would be tefisa mechayim? Rashi explains. If, for example, shortly before the father died, she thought to herself, you know what, let me hold on to these metalplin in order, now I'm not keeping them as a pekodin anymore, now I'm keeping them as tfisa, that would be valid. But since she hadn't done that, then therefore it's still considered that it was in his possession.
She could say that to herself, or she would have to have aid.
Rashi doesn't say whether she needs aid or so not, but whatever the case, Rav Nachman is saying, only if at some point he demands them back and you say, I don't want to return them because I'm keeping them as tfisa, then that would work. But otherwise that's not considered tfisa. So therefore it's only tfisa v'lachamisa or tfisa v'lachamisa loy klumhi. And as we've said before, tfisa after the guy died doesn't count for anything. So therefore, in other words, you need to return them. Now, Tosfos has a bit of a discussion over here. Why doesn't she have a migri to say that I bought them? Now, shtaris are different than other kinds of metalklin. To buy, normally, other kinds of metalklin, you don't need a shtar in order to buy them. All you need is a verbal thing between one person and another. I'm selling you these metalklin. And then the other guy does mashicha, and that's that. Shtaris is a special case. We say, because when you think about it, you're not fundamentally buying the shtar itself. You're not buying the piece of paper. You're buying the choiv that's recorded in the shtar. So for that, you need, so it's called, so ein oisius niknis b'mesira. Just to give them over is not enough. You actually need a shtar, you actually need a shtar for it. So in fact, the Rif says that the reason why we don't believe her over here is because if she wanted to claim with a migri that I bought the shtaris, then we would have to, we would actually have to have a shtar to show that she bought the shtaris. If not, then not. Tosfos disagrees with that, but Tosfos says that she had already said Michaim Tafisna. So now, in other words, so now for us to say a migri would be called a migri l'mafreya. We'd have to retroactively say that she could have had a migri, and that we can't say. A migri is only if at the time she makes a certain claim, which we said she would have had a better claim. But in this case, that doesn't work. So now the Gemara is digressing further, as it is, all of this was a bit of a digression to talk about various cases of Tfisa. Now we're digressing further to talk about cases where a Dayan paskins something based on not based on solid evidence, but rather based on his understanding of what's going on. So the Gemara says, "Hahi itza di ischayev shvur beidin of the Rava." There was a certain woman who was chayev shvur in Rava's beis din. So Rashi says the typical case, for example, would be somebody was claiming money from her. She's kofer, and the halacha is that if she's modu a mikzas, she has to swear daraisa, and if she's kofer hakol, then she has to swear shvur's heses. Omrele bas Rav Chista, but the daughter of Rav Chista, who was Rava's wife, said to Rava, "Yadayna bod chashuda ashvur." I happen to know that this woman is suspected of swearing falsely. How does she know that? Different Rishonim bring different things. One interesting thing that the Mordechai brings from the Bahag is that Rava's wife knew this woman, and she knew that she regularly takes Hashem's name in vain. She regularly says Hashem's name without it being in a valid bracha or tefillah or something like that. Different other Mephoshim talk about different ideas. Other ideas, maybe she swore personal shvuas and wasn't fulfilling them. Whatever the case, so therefore, a person who's choshered on a shvua, we can't be mashpia them in basically. So Rava flipped around the Shavua against the other person, meaning there's a halacha in Masechta Shavuos. It talks about it extensively. Really, so let's say, for example, in this case, where this woman would have had to swear, and if she swore, she would be potter. Instead, what we do is we tell the other guy, you swear, and once you do, then you'll be able to collect the choiv on that basis. That concept of hafichas shavua itself is diraban. So Zimnin Havu Yast. So that's an example where we see. So Rava was following, even though he didn't have solid evidence that this woman is careless with Shavuos, but nevertheless, since his wife told him that he is, that she is, then therefore he could follow that. So the Gemara says Zimnin another time, Havu Yast Kamera Papa Rab Adabamas. Now another time Rab Papa and Rab Adabamasna were sitting as Talmidim in front of Rava. I saw who shtara gabe, they brought a certain shtar to Rava, where somebody was claiming money with the shtar. So the papa says to Rava, I happen to know that the shtar was already paid off. So Rava asks him, is there anybody else besides you that you can bring as a second aid for that? And Rav Papa says no. Amalei, so Rava says, afagab de ikamar, well, even though there's you, Rav Papa, saying that the shtar is paid off, eidech ablav kumhu, you're only one aid, and that doesn't count for anything, so therefore I can't accept on the basis of what you're saying that the shtar should be invalid. Amalei, Rav Adam Amasna, v'loi hei Rav Papa, kabas Rav Chista, and Rav Adam Amasna says, what, shouldn't Rav Papa be at least on the level of the daughter of Rav Chista, your wife? If you accepted your wife's edus about this woman in the previous case to say that she shouldn't have to swear, how can you not accept what Rav Papa is saying, that the shtar is paid off? And Rava answered, bas Rav Chista kimli begava, because the difference is the daughter of Rav Chista, my wife, I know her very well, and I know that she won't lie. Mar Lakim Levigave, as opposed to you, Rapapa, I don't know that for sure. Now, how could he say such a thing once he's suspecting Rapapa of lying? There's actually an interesting thing that Moshe talks about in one of his Chuvas, that, of course, Rava doesn't mean that he doesn't trust Rapapa, but he's saying, with my wife, I have many times a chazaka. I've seen over and over in practice that she won't lie even when a person might otherwise, in order to benefit themselves somehow. You, Rapapa, fine, you have a cheskas kashrus like every other yid, but I haven't yet seen over and over this kind of thing where you're trustworthy in all situations, and therefore I can't yet say that you're so trustworthy. So not that he's accusing him of being a liar, but he's just chas v'shalom. But he's just saying, in other words, that I haven't yet seen you enough times and seen you in such a situation enough times to know that I can accept what you're saying as is. So the Gemara says, Omer Rapapa, Hashtad Omer Mar, Kimli Begave, Mil Sehi. Well, Rapapa himself later on says, now that Rava said that this Kimli Begave, that this, when we say that when we know a particular person and know that they would never lie and we can trust them to accept aiders from them, even though it's only one aid. So therefore, Kigoin Abba Mar Bris, and then Rava says, for example, my own son, Abba Mar, the Kimli Begave, where I know for a fact, I know him many times, and I know that he would never lie, then therefore, Karana Shtar Apume, if he would tell me that a particular shtar is possible, then I would actually rip it up. Mar says, Karina Sakadadach, how can you rip it up? That would actually, fine, you have one, it's still only one aid. You actually have a shtar that's already signed and to rip up the shtar and therefore take away money. You can't do that on the basis of one aid, no matter how trustworthy that aid is. So rather, Papa says, fine, what I would do is if Abba Mar were to tell me that a particular shtar is possible, I would weaken that shtar. So fine, I wouldn't rip it up, but I would tell the Baal Choyv who's holding that shtar, I can't allow you to collect that shtar because I've been told that this shtar is possible.
How about our person swearing?
So the other person swearing. So in some cases that might work. Tosfos discusses over here that let's say for example it happened that Rapapa was related to the Baal Ashtar, was related to one of the Baal Edinim. So therefore even a shvuah wouldn't work in front of Rapapa because Rapapa being if Rapapa was the dayan, then he couldn't sit as a dayan and accept the shvuah on it. So therefore, yeah. So Bichlal, this whole concept then that a Dayan can follow his intuition or he can follow or things like that, it is in principle halacha. The Rambam writes though that in later times when the Bate Dinim weren't always so honest or so competent, then it was agreed in Bate Dinim, in all Bate Dinim, that we don't do that anymore. We only use the actual evidence that's in front of us. We don't start doing like here Rava trusting his wife or a Papa trusting his son or whatever. Different other Rishonim disagree with that and say we could even implement that nowadays if it was competent based in. The Gemara continues. Hahi itzadi chayv shvua beidina de Rabbi Barabaya. There was a woman who was chayv shvua in the base din of Rabbi Barabaya. Omalahu hahu baldin. But the baldin, the guy who she owed the money to, said, Tasev it to shtaba b'mosa. She should go and swear not in front of Rabbi Barabaya's Beis Din, but rather in a particular, in a certain city, Rabbapashtos, the city where she lives. Efshad mixifa umoydia, because that way there are people there in town who will know that she owes the money. Maybe they're not capable of being actual aidim, but at least the fact that they know, maybe she'll be embarrassed and then she'll be moida rather than swearing in a place where everybody's going to know that she's swearing falsely. So she says, okay, omrelahu kisfuli zachvasa. So she says, okay, but write me out in advance a shtar that says that I came to that I went to Beis Din and I swore and I'm therefore potter from the debt. So she's asking for that shtar to be written out in advance.
If it was after she swore,
there wouldn't be a problem. The point is she's asking for that to be written out in advance. The kimishtabana yabili. Now obviously they're not going to give me the shtar right away. After I swear, they'll give me that shtar and I'll have it as a raya. Meanwhile, it could be it's kept with a third party. It could be that the Malva himself keeps the shtar, whatever the case. In other words, but have it prepared in advance. As soon as I swear, I want to be able to get that done. Omulahu Rabbi Barabaya Kisvala. So Rabbi Barabaya tells the Dayonim, go ahead and write that for her. But Omer Rapapi says, that doesn't work. And he says, "Jerabibi Barbaya, strong expression. Mishum de osisu mimuloi, because you come from muloi, amritu milimu yosa. Therefore, you're saying words that are flawed. Muloi," Rashi explains, "is that Rabibi Barbaya is the son of Abaya, as in Abaya and Rava. Abaya, and therefore Rabibi Barbaya, are descended from Eli HaKoyin. And we know that Eli HaKoyin's family was told the Nevuah that among other things, they're going to die young. So therefore, so he's saying, like, you come from a cut-off family where they live short, they live short lives, therefore you're saying things that are cut off and are incorrect." Rashi gives a second explanation that muloi means like hunchbacks, like people who are bali mumim and don't live normal lives. There's different other explanations among Rishonim, among other things. Rashi himself explains elsewhere, or Tosfos explains actually that muloi is the name of a place where Bnei Eli lived for a long time. Whatever the case, he's telling him, in other words, what you said is not right. There's even an explanation. So why is he using such an insulting expression? What he's saying is, I think Maharsha explains this someplace, but I don't remember. Given that the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, we learned it in Yevamos as well, that Beis Eli, they're how are they going to have their kapara? How are they going to be able to live long if they're oisik b'torah and b'gmulas chasadim? So he's telling you, Rabbi Barbaya, you have an extra responsibility because of your family history to make sure you're learning Torah properly and not making mistakes. But here you're making a bad mistake. He tells Ha Omar Rava, Hai Ashouted Dayoni. After all, didn't Rava say, we had this earlier in the Masechta, that when Dayonim write a kiyum on a shtar, so a shtar is brought to Beis Din with a claim that it might be forged or whatever, and Beis Din validates the signatures and they write on the shtar that we validated it. If that kiyum is written before the edim actually give edus about their signatures, psula, then that kiyum is possible because it was written, because the dayanim are writing that we were shown signatures of the edim and we match them up or whatever method they use, and therefore we declare that the shtar is valid. And here it's written before the edim ever did that, so therefore that would be possible. Alma mechzika shikra. So we see that such a thing looks like a lie. So Hochanami, Mechzika Shikra, the same thing over here. It's going to look like a lie to say that she swore when she didn't actually swear yet. So therefore, you can't do that. You can't write that shtar in advance. But the Gemara says, Valesa, but actually what Rav Papi is saying is not correct. Midir Rav Nachman. And we know that on the basis of what Rav Nachman says. The Amr Rav Nachman, Oymo Hoyer Rav Meir. Rav Meir used to say, as far as a get, Afilu motze ba'ashba, even if you find a get in the garbage, v'chosme v'nosnilah, and the husband signed it, or he had Adam sign it, or whatever, and gave it to her, then it's kosher. Because he holds that a get doesn't have to be written l'shma. So v'afilu rabbonim, like pligi alei de rameir, ela begitin noshim, in ksiv l'shma. Now the chachamim disagree with rameir, because they hold that a get has to be written l'shma. But when it comes to other shtaris, they would agree with him that it is valid to write them in advance and just they'll be signed at the appropriate time. So therefore, it would be valid to write a shtar, as Rabibi Barbaya is saying, to write her a shtar in advance that she swore, and the shtar will be all ready to give her as soon as she swears.
But extra signature sign makes it valid.
Right, but the point is, in other words, the very fact that they're writing Ploinus swore on such and such a date, even though she didn't actually swear yet, it's not mechzi kashikra. It's not considered to look like a lie. And we know that the Omer of Asi Omer of Yechin, and we know that other chachamim agree with the mayor when it comes to other shtaris, because the Omer of Asi Omer of Yechin, shtar shalava boy proy, if a person borrowed money with a shtar and then he paid off that debt, he can't now borrow money again using the same shtar, because the shibud of that shtar has already been forgiven. So therefore, so now the second one is only a milval peh. So therefore, it doesn't do any good to have a shtar. If Reuven borrowed money from Shimon and then he paid off the debt, now we want to use the exact same shtar again. Let's say, so he borrowed $100 from him, he paid it off. Now he wants to borrow another $100 from him. We can't use the same shtar. Let's say the shtar wasn't dated exactly, or the shtar, after all, you can just have a date in it. You could just say it was written in Tufshin Pei Gimel. You don't need an exact date in it. So later in the that's the problem. The shibur has already been paid off. So now, therefore, it's not a milvah b'shtar. Now it's only a milvah peh. And a milvah peh, and you can't collect from lekuchos. You can't anything. Then you might as well not have a shtar at all. So taima de nimcho shibudai. So only because the shibud was forgiven do we say you can't reuse the shtar. Avol mechzik shikra loy chashinem. But we seem to not be concerned about this problem. Mechzik shikra. So we see, you know, even though it wasn't specifically written from that for this particular milva, that wouldn't have been a problem. So therefore, we see that there's no problem of mechzik shikra. Tosfos actually much earlier in the Masechta when it talks about this matter of kiyum shtaris. Tosfos does point out over there that first of all, there may be a difference between lachtchila and b'diavad, but second of all, also Tosfos points out there might be a difference between ma'aseh beistin. When it comes to a kiyum shtaris, it's something where beistin writes that we saw the shtar and the edim validated their signatures for us. So for that, we're more concerned about mechzik shikra. But when it comes to other shtaris like this, where she wants a shtar that I swore on such and such a date, then that we might accept that they can write it, in advance. Okay. The Gemara tells another case. Hahu gavra da'afkid shevma g'nisid tzayri v'sidina be'rab miyasha ba'bredir v'shur v'mayb. A man was mafke here. Let's go that slowly. Hahu gavra da'afkid shevma g'nisa. A man was mafke 7 pearls, ditsayri v'sedina, that were wrapped up in a cloth, beir of Miyasha, Babredi, Rabbi Shor Levi, and he deposited them for safekeeping with Rabbi Miyasha, the grandson of Rabbi Shor Levi. Shochev Rabbi Miyasha passed away suddenly. V'loy pocket, he didn't give any instructions to his household before he passed away. He passed away suddenly, and he didn't have a chance to tell his household what to do with these 7 pearls. Also, the Kameh de Rabami, so the case came to Rabami. The Yoshim are saying that maybe these pearls belong to our father. And meanwhile, the other guy is saying that I was masking them. So Rabami tells them there's 2 reasons that we should say that they belong to the guy who's claiming them. Choda the Yedina Beber of Miyasha Babreh de Rabbi Shor ben Levi de Le'omid. Number one, I know that Miyasha, the grandson of Rabbi Shor ben Levi, is not rich. So therefore, it's not likely that he actually owned these pearls.
And the fact that he even knew that there's pearls there, and he's the one holding it.
No, well, Miyasha passed away, we're saying. Now, but the other guy might have seen them around the house. Sometime the Gemara is going to point that out in a second way. But so number one, Miyasha was not rich, so it's not likely that he owned these pearls. Elsewhere, by the way, Rashi says the word omid is related to the word oimed, which means an estimate. The reason why omid comes to mean a rich person is because with a rich person, people estimate how much money he has. Anyway. So that's number one. For oid haka yohiv simana. Second of all, the guy is giving a simon. So in other words, Tosfos says, if the Miyashi was still alive, then he could say, for example, fine, I'm not rich, but I found them. I found them and there was no simon, or I was machriz or whatever. And therefore I'm allowed to keep them. But since that's a very unlikely thing, we can't, it's true, we always try to taina on behalf of the Yisayimim, but not with such an off the wall claim. So that's number one. But second of all, the guy is giving simonim. He says, after all, the number, he says they're wrapped up in a cloth and so forth. So those are 2 reasons to give it to him. But the Gemara says, all of that would only apply if this guy who's claiming the pearls doesn't regularly go in and out of that house. But if he regularly goes in, in the Shachrina after, it could very well be that somebody else was mafkid them with Rami Yasha, and he just saw them. So therefore, the fact that he's giving simonim wouldn't be good enough to give it to him. Fine, it would be enough to say maybe that it doesn't belong to Rami Yasha, but it wouldn't be a strong enough reason to say that it belongs to him.
Obviously,
he gave it to him without a shtar, without edim or anything. A shtar, you don't usually give a cotton with a shtar, but yeah, usually you would give it with edim, but yeah, in this case, yeah. Okay, another example. Hahu gavra da'afkid kosa da'kaspa be'chasa. A person deposited for safekeeping a silver cup with chasa. Shochiv chasa v'lay pocket. Again, chasa passed away suddenly, and he didn't have a chance to give instructions before he passed away. In fact, we had at the end of Yevamos that there was a chasa, the pashtus, the same one who drowned in the ocean. And Reb Nachman said, and the same Reb Nachman, who was in the case over here, said on him that the fish ate him up. So we have evidence that he passed away and that his wife can remarry. So obviously it was an unexpected thing. So Chasa, before that, did not have a chance to tell his family what the story is with the silver cup.
So the fish
came up? No, so Reb Nachman says in the Gemara over there, Holy Kim, Achlua Kavri L'chasa, I swear in Hashem's name, the fish must have eaten him up. In other words, because the Gemara says, since he was an important person, he was a distinguished Tamil Chacham, if he got out of the water alive, then we would have known about him at some point. Anyway.
But the fact they knew when he was in the water.
The fact they knew that he was in the water, yeah. So also the Chamedi Rav Nachman. So again, the case was brought to Rav Nachman. Omer lahu. So he says, number one, you're dinabe b'chasa b'le Omer. Number one, I know that chasa is not rich, so he probably didn't own a silver cup himself. Ve'oid hakayoyv simana. Second of all, the guy is giving a simon. And again, v'lo yamon ela b'le rogel, the isle of nafik l'chasam. Same thing. This would work only if the other guy doesn't regularly go in and out of chasa's house. Avo rogel, the isle of nafik l'chasam. Emer inishach mina afkid. It's possible that somebody else would mafkid it. V'iu mechsa chaza, and just this guy saw it and now is claiming it as his own. Same thing. And why we need we have so far two cases, and then we're going to have a third one. Why do we need all three cases that are the same? The Rif explains, because the point is, you should understand that this halacha, this is called halacha revachas b'Yisrael. It's a well-known, well-established halacha among Jews. We said before about a Dayan using his intuition. This is an example of that, where a Dayan is saying, I know that a Miyasha or that Chasa is not rich, and therefore that itself is the beginning of a reason to give it to the other guy. So a Dayan has the right to trust his intuition, and we see we have all these cases in the Gemara, one after the other, where we apply it. So again, the Rambam would say that only applied in the earlier times, when we know that the Bat Dinim were on the up and up and they knew the halachas. The Rambam would say not in later times, but the Rif and the Rosh and some other Rishonim disagree with that point. Anyway, another example, the Gemara says, Ahuda afkin metaksa beirab dimi achur derav safra, a man deposited some silk clothing with Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra. Again, Shachar Rav Dimi v'lay pocket. Rav Dimi passed away and he didn't have a chance to tell his family in advance what the story is with this. And in all these cases, by the way, the point that he passed away suddenly is, if he had been lingering for a while, they being Tamar Chachamim, we would expect that they would have given instructions to their family what to do with this. And if they didn't give instructions, then we have every reason to assume that they in fact own the thing. They may have bought it at some point or whatever, but because they passed away suddenly, then therefore we can't do that. Also the Kamei de Rab Abba, so they brought the case to Rab Abba. Omer lahu, he says, Choda di yadai de beb Rab Dimi de le Omid. Number one, I know Rab Dimi is not rich, but oid haka yoiv simona. Second of all, the other guy is giving simonim. And again, v'lo yamon el de le rogel, the isle of nafik l'hasam. Only all of that would apply only if the guy doesn't regularly go in and out of the house. Avo rogel, the isle of nafik l'hasam. But if he regularly goes in and out, eima inish achrina afkid, then it's possible somebody else might have been mafkid, the iu mechsa chaza, and the other guy saw it, and therefore that wouldn't be good enough. That wouldn't be a good enough reason to give it to him. It might be a good enough reason to say that it doesn't belong to Rav Dimi, but not necessarily to say that it belongs to this guy. So again, these are all examples where a Dayan uses his intuition. He doesn't have solid evidence that the thing belongs or doesn't belong to Pliny, but he's using his intuition, and the Gemara is saying that that's valid, and a Dayan can paskin based on that.
It's not saying that they asked the wife, but I'm assuming that wife didn't know anything.
The wife of Pashtus didn't know, yeah. The Gemara gives another example. Hahu da'omu lahu nechosei l'turia. A man said before he passed away, I want my nechosim to go to Turia. Shochnev, well, he passed away, also Tuvia, and somebody named Tuvia showed up and wanted to claim the Nechosim. After all, Tuvia came. So therefore, so we give it to him. And in other words, the point is, we don't say that maybe he meant a different Tuvia. The first one that shows up of that name is entitled to collect. Yeah, but the Gemara says, what about Omar Tuvia v'osa Rav Tuvia? What about if he said, I want to give it to Tuvia, and instead someone named Rav Tuvia, somebody who had smicha, came and was known as Rav Tuvia came, then no. L'tuvia Omar, l'Rav Tuvia l'Omar. Then we have to assume, no, the mess said, I want to give it to Tuvia, not to Rav Tuvia, so therefore it wouldn't work. The guy doesn't have the guy. This Rav Tuvia wouldn't be able to claim the Nechosim. But the e-inish to gispe, but if it's a person who's familiar with him and is on a first name basis with him, then ho gispe, then we say he is familiar with him, and therefore he might call him Tuvia, even though the guy has a title of Rav, but because this guy was on a first name basis with him, so therefore now this Rav Tuvia would be able to collect it. What about the Gemara says also Shnei Tuvia? What if two people named Tuvia came? Well, then, first of all, Shochen Metamad Chacham, if one of them is a neighbor, or actually the Rosh says doesn't mean a neighbor like the guy who lives next door, but rather like a person who did business with him or whatever. Anyway, so one is that, the other one is a Tamad Chacham, then Tamad Chacham Koidim, then the Tamad Chacham comes first because we assume that the mess would have wanted to give it to a Tamad Chacham because after all, he was about to die. He wants to get an extra schus before he dies and then give it Tamad Chacham. Nechosim is a great thing. Similarly, Similarly, Kod of the Tamad Chacham Kodim. By the same token, if one of the Turbias is a relative and the other one is a Tamad Chacham, same thing, we would give it to the Tamad Chacham as first claim. What about Iboilahu Shochen Bekod of Mai? The question is, what happens if one of them is a Shochen and the other one is a relative? Which one has the greater claim to it? Or there's a different explanation. The Maharam Shif says the question may be, what if one of them is a Tamad Chacham, but the other one is a Shochen and a Kod? So the Gemara says Tashma. Let's bring a proof from the pasuk. As the pasuk says, Toiv Shochen Korev Me'och Rothik. A close neighbor is better than a distant brother. So in other words, the neighbor has the greater advantage over the Korev.
Yeah, but the neighbor and the Talmud Chacham.
No, so we said that according to the Maharam Shif, we'd be saying that even though one of them is a Talmud Chacham, because the other one is a neighbor and a relative, then therefore he takes precedence. But according to the standard explanation that one of them is a relative and the other one is a neighbor, neither one a Talmud Chachamim, then we say the neighbor gets precedence. We assume that more likely he would have wanted to give it to him. What about Shneim Krevim or Shneim Shchenim or Shneim Chachamim? What if both of them are neighbors or both of them are relatives or both of them are Chachamim? So then Shuda de Dayoni, then it's up to the discretion of the Dayoni. Shuda, Rashi explains, first of all, the word Shuda, Rashi explains, comes from a word that means to throw. So in other words, the Chachamim, the Dayanim, can throw it however they, whatever, whichever one they figure the mess is more likely to have meant, then therefore, we would give it to him. There's nothing to swear on because neither one has a particular claim to it. I mean, they both have a claim to it, but both of them is a Tainus Shema. They go, what are they going to swear? That the guy meant me? How do they know that? You can't swear on a Tainus Shema.
He didn't tell either one.
He just said, Nechosi L'Tobia. And now we have two Tobias show up. So Rashi says it means that the Dayanim have to figure out, they have to figure out, based on what we know of this mess, which one of these people is he more likely to have wanted to give it to? Tosfos says that no, what it actually means is the Dayan himself can pick on his own, which one to give it to. And then there's actually an interesting point Rishonim bring from Yerushalmi, Tosfos themselves brings it in Bava Basra, that the word Shuda is actually related to the word Shuchda, which means Shoichad. Literally, it means that one of them could actually give money to the judge to decide the case in his favor. Normally, of course, you're not allowed to take Shoichad. But in this case, given that it's up in the air anyway, and as Tosfos is saying, it's up to the discretion of the Dayan, not like Rashi says, where the Dayan has to try to figure out what the mess would have wanted, but rather that we're saying that the Dayan himself is allowed to pick, he's allowed to flip a coin, he's allowed to do anything. Well, by the same token, he's allowed to also, Tosfos says, based on that Yerushalmi, he would actually be able to accept money from one of them in order to decide the case in his favor. Because in any case, it's up to the Dayan's discretion which one to give it to.
Yeah, but giving money to the naked side, that's not good.
Well, it's not normally. It's not good. But in this case, in other words, again, given Rabbeinu Tam's explanation in Tosfos that Shuda de Dayani means that the Dayan himself has full discretion to decide who to give it to, then it doesn't matter what he's basing himself on, whether he's basing himself on, like Rashi says, evaluating what the mess would have had to do, which Tosfos says he doesn't need to do, or whether he flips a coin or whether it's whatever it is, then yeah, he's entitled to. Okay, so we're going to continue with tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more cases of Dini Mominus that are somewhat of a digression from what we were talking about in the Gemara and that we were talking about in the Mishnah, and eventually we're going to get back to matters of Ksubas that relate to our Masechta. Okay, everyone.